from the BBC.
Hello, I'm Claudia Hammond. Today on Health Check, the very latest research on the things we can do to stay healthy. Why cooking carrots whole can protect against cancer. How taking a mid-morning nap could stimulate your creative juices. And why are men so loath to go to the doctor? Could this explain why more men die from cancer? All coming up in this half hour in Health Check from BBC Science.
Hello and welcome to Career Fast Track, the show designed to ensure you make lots of money doing work you love. I am your host, Philippe Desrochers, also known as Dr. Career. And you're listening to 101.9 FM in Vancouver or online at www.citr.ca. Coming up on today's show, we'll be looking at empowering women during the economic recession. The recession is the best thing that could ever happen to women. Why? Never before has the world been open to something so new. One of the most powerful countries in the world has voted for its first African-American president, and one of the largest companies in the world is reinventing itself, being General Motors. With change comes opportunity. To discuss this show, we have three special guests, three successful career-focused women. First, we'll look at whether or not they still face sexism. Then we'll look at some of the most blatant mistakes women make that stall their career. And later in the show, we'll explore strategies that have worked for them and that they can apply and you can apply in your own life in order to move forward. Now, our special guest today will share three unique perspectives. Norma Jean Thompson is a recent business graduate and founder of the Canadian Young Women in Business Network. Denise Baker is the assistant dean at the Harry B. Varshney Career Center at the Sauder School of Business and a vocal supporter of women's rights. Diane Akalaitis, a tax partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, is also involved with the firm's Women in Leadership and Retention Initiatives. Welcome to the three of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Nice to have you. Now, according to the Bernard Center for Research on Women, women continue to face gender discrimination, but it does not operate through the kinds of overt barriers to participation that mobilized activists back in the 60s. So it's embedded in everyday interaction. Diane, I'd like to first hear from you. First off, in your experience, have you faced sexism on the job?
No, Philippe, I don't think I've had any kind of overt sexism in my role here, but I would agree with you wholeheartedly that it is one of the less visible barriers that women face, and it is, I believe, one of the most challenging obstacles for us to get over.
Mm. And how about you, Denise, your experience?
I would say I have experienced sexism in the workplace, and primarily in terms of the salary. We all know that women make less salary than men do. Lots of studies show that. 1 year after college, women earn 80% of what men earn, doing the same jobs, and I did face that early in my career where I knew that male colleagues were making more money than I was for doing the same work and making the same contribution.
Yeah. Norma Jean, your experience, you're recently graduated from university. Do you experience sexism, or is this something that you have no clue about? What's your perspective on that?
For me, it hasn't been anything that has been extremely overt. More so, there's a barrier coming into a conversation that has to be overcome. In speaking with male colleagues, there is a perception of women that they need to prove themselves before they're taken seriously, whereas on the other side, I feel that a lot of my male peers already have that perception. They've already proven themselves, so it's, you know, guilty until proven wrong. The other way, right?
Absolutely. I want to follow back up with Diane. Diane, in your experience, why is it, do you think, you haven't experienced sexism on the job?
Well, I guess one of the things, Philippe, is, you know, in public accounting firms, there has been a you know, long history of a lot of women in the intake into the profession. So perhaps that's one of the reasons. We are a profession that is very accustomed to having, you know, a large population of women. So I guess earnings and other decisions like that tend to be very even-handed. And, you know, I can't speak for all of my colleagues, but I can't say that I've seen it happen here. I now, you know, as a partner, I sit through salary review meetings, and I can say honestly, I don't see anything that comes through as any kind of a gender bias at all.
Diane, can you tell me why it is you're involved with this Women Initiatives and Leadership and Retention?
It came about several years ago when our national firm leader looked around him and said, you know, we do have, you know, 50% of our intake of new students into the CA profession are women. In fact, typically it's slightly larger than 50%. But he looked around the table, you know, at leadership meetings, our board group and other measures of leadership, and there were very few women represented. So he asked a simple question, why? And he started by looking at whether there were any internal barriers or, that type of thing, and did a study and decided that there was nothing internal, but acknowledged, obviously, that there was something wrong. If 50% of the women entering, 50% of the people entering the profession are women, why are so few of them reaching the higher ranks? And so, you know, out of that, we, you know, today are spending a lot of time, money, and energy trying to address not only why that's happening, but trying to put some things in place to help mitigate it and to ensure that we retain and develop our women.
Is it working for the firm?
I think it's a long, slow process. You know, I can't stand up and say that, you know, after year two we've doubled the number of women or, you know, nothing quite that substantial. But absolutely, I think we can say we're having success. Mm. We certainly are having a lot more dialogue about it. I think a lot of the issues around why women leave the firm are surfacing. And, you know, half of the struggle is to understand why things happen. So, you know, I think we're cracking that egg, and we'll slowly get to better solutions.
I appreciate that, Diane. Denise, I want to ask you, in your experience, I mean, I've had a chance to speak to you about this subject. You're very passionate about women rights and women in the workforce. Why are you so passionate about this subject?
Well, I guess maybe because I'm a woman and I have friends who are women. But aside from that, I think obviously women have made great strides in the last 30 years in terms of their position in the workplace and things like benefits and being asked to come to the executive table. But there's still a lot of work to be done. And really what I am passionate about is ensuring that every woman has the same opportunities that men have, or that, you know, that everybody, maybe not necessarily just women, but particularly women, have the same opportunities to contribute the way they're capable of contributing and not have to worry as much about, you know, the non-overt sexism and being held back. Saying that, there are a lot of things I think that women can do to help their careers, which I think is one of your next sections, next topics.
So, Denise, I'm really curious. I mean, in your experience working, I mean, is it real, or is this a figment of your imagination? I mean, do you really see this form of sexism, and how has it shown up for you, or have you observed?
Well, I mean, I've read a lot of statistics, obviously, and I mean, I came from the private sector. I've been working at the Career Center at the university for only a couple of years, so I have sort of a different perspective, I suppose. But again, you know, the pay rate and the reluctance of women to negotiate salaries when they first get a job, studies show that men are four times more likely to negotiate their salaries. Women are 85% not likely to ask for a raise or to put themselves forward in terms of promotion. And, you know, again, going back to Diane, it would be interesting to study why that is. Is it because women they just feel that their contributions should just be acknowledged and accepted, or are men more comfortable out there showcasing their accomplishments and what they can contribute?
Actually, I want to, Norma Jean, before we get to you, I want to ask Diane a question here. Diane, what is that gap about? Do you see that? I know before you said it wasn't an issue, but Denise is clearly indicating that there is this gap. Do you see that at all? And maybe why is there that gap?
Yes, absolutely. We're starting to see it, Philippe. Like I said, it's a long, slow journey. And, you know, every time you kind of peel back a layer, you find more things. And I would agree wholeheartedly with those comments. One of the reasons is perception, and exactly what was described. Men are much more likely to stand up and ask for what they want, or to make publicly known accomplishments that they believe they have achieved, whereas women are much more quiet about it. And so as a result, we get less of that recognition and reward. I think that's a big part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Norma Jean, I want to hear your perspective. You started a very interesting organization, Women in Business. It's a Canadian organization. It also had a conference, a women leadership conference. Why did you feel there was a need for a conference like this, and why did you run it?
Well, I stepped it up, taking from a business perspective. We saw a niche, and we saw a need to be filled, so we went ahead and did that. And that's why I got involved. The reason we started up and held the conference, though, was the biggest need, I think, was having there was a lack of a network that connected young women who were going through similar experiences in launching their career. And the other part was having a lack of female mentors out there who were in those more senior level positions. I don't think that there's a growing population of female executives out there, but it's not necessarily visible, whether it's within our companies or within our direct reach. And so we brought out a number of these female executives to come and speak to these young women, and they were very excited, and they saw that they could get to that level as well.
I remember talking with you about the conference, and you were mentioning how the students, the women's comments were they've never felt more empowered after the conference, and I think that relates to their connection with senior women who are in the industry and have been successful, and they could say, well, if they can do it, I can do it. So that was an interesting comment you made.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, you're listening to Career Fast Track. We're talking about the extra challenges women face on the job. You can email us your questions now at info@drcareer.com. That's info@dr-career.com. Or you can call us now at 604-822-2487, 604-822-2487. After the break, we're going to talk about common pitfalls women make that hurt their career and how they can avoid them. Back in a moment.
Conservation is the first and best resource option for BC. Do your part. Turn off the lights when you leave a room and unplug your cell phone charger when charging is complete. Visit bchydro.com to find out more ways you can make a difference. This message brought to you by BC Hydro Power Smart and CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
Would you like to help students improve their standings in math and English on provincial exams? Would you like to improve your own skills for teaching and leadership? Do you plan on entering the PDP program or law enforcement, youth work, BSW, or medicine? Volunteer as a tutor in an innovative program at QE Secondary School in Surrey in this midweek after-school program. In its 12th year, it has proven to be a rewarding experience for students and volunteer tutors. Contact Ms. Bond at 604-581-3476, 604-581-3476, or email bond_ats@hotmail.com.
All right, welcome back to Career Fast Track on 101.9 FM in Vancouver or online at www.citr.ca. This is the show about making lots of money doing work you love. I am your host, Philippe Desrochers. If you're just joining us now, we've three special guests in studio, and rather two in studio, one on the line, who are sharing their perspectives on women in today's workforce. Diane Akalaitis, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, Denise Baker, the assistant dean for the Career Center for the Business School at UBC, and Norma Jean Thompson, a business graduate and founder of a Women in Business organization. I'd like to now discuss some of the mistakes women make on the job that do not help with this equality. I was recently interviewing Christine Lowe, the valedictorian for her class, and she mentioned that women at the end of a department meeting should resist from cleaning up because that fits into stereotypes. Diane, let's start with you. What are your comments on this?
On the cleaning up comment?
Well, I guess you can make the cleaning up comment, or in generally, what are some of the pitfalls women make in their careers?
Well, I think we've touched on it a little bit already. I think one of the biggest mistakes women make is not to celebrate their own achievements. We are, I think, naturally pre-wired to sit back and, just be modest about things that we've accomplished. And I think that harms us in the long run. We may think that it is too overt to stand up and make noise about what we've done. But I think we need to be doing a little bit more of that, because I think recognition is important in advancing your career.
Absolutely. And in terms of, has there ever been, I guess I can't go too detailed into your organization, I can imagine, I'd love you to share all these inside, but in your career path throughout your life, have you ever seen, you've looked around you and maybe said, well, you know, you can see what a woman is doing in their career and you're saying in the back of your mind, you know what, they've got to change their strategy. That's not going to work for them. Does anything come to mind for you?
I could cite example after example of, two individuals who I may know very well, one male and one female, and one of them will be perceived to be a higher performer simply because typically he, shouts his accomplishments much louder. I see it regularly, and the more I've learned through reading about, you know, women and careers and leadership and whatnot, the more obvious it seems to me. So, yes, absolutely. I see it all the time.
Okay, Diane, we'll be talking about strategies to overcome this after the next break. I'd like to move on here to Denise. Denise, what mistakes do you see women making in their careers?
Well, I guess admitting that they know how to type would be one. No, that's a joke. That is a piece of advice that I was given in 1978 in my first job by a very, very lovely woman who wanted to see me succeed. And this is when there were typewriters. And she said to me, don't admit you can type. I'm not saying don't learn how to type because it's a useful skill. But don't, because if you say, yes, I can type, you'll be typing up the notes instead of collaborating on strategy. So, I think women should pay. Well, what I see is an inattention to body language that can get you into trouble. So if we think about things like a limp handshake, that really sends a lot of messages to us subconsciously. And, you know, those messages may not be showing that you're a person with confidence and ability. Hair flipping, you know, don't flip your hair around in meetings. Phrasing things as a question instead of a statement. So again, instead of saying, do you think we should spend that marketing budget? Maybe you could rephrase things like, I think we should spend that marketing budget on these activities because we will deliver these results. So again, really being aware of body language and the impact that it has and how people will perceive you as being a very confident person. Leaning forward in meetings instead of leaning backwards in meetings, again, is a sign that you're engaged and that you're committed and that you're worth being listened to.
Mm-hmm. I'm also curious, Denise, back in your experience in the private sector, you know, I think we were chatting a bit about inequality that you've seen. Is there any other, any stories or any people that you remember seeing or knowing that have experienced or they've made mistakes and you've seen the results of those mistakes on the job?
In terms of specifics, I don't have any example that comes to mind, but I would really agree with what Diane said in, you know, women are overlooked because they are not out there talking about their achievements and their accomplishments. And I don't mean in a way that is bragging or, you know, annoying people. And certainly Diane wouldn't advocate that either. But it is about, you know, being proud of what you can accomplish and being confident and being able to convey that to people on your team and to people in a position to promote you and get you further.
Mm. You know, an area I was looking at was I asked a lot of people and I asked a lot of women, professional women, and said, well, why are women not getting promoted as much as men? And one of the comments was that women are less likely to go to the networking functions in the evening. The assumption is they're going to their family. I haven't proven that, but there is a content or there is a general consensus among the women that I've spoken to that they're less likely to go to those networking functions. I guess, Denise, just tell me, do you see that as an issue? How do women and men network differently?
Yes, I think women and men do network differently, and I do agree that networking is very key to a successful career or a successful career search. Most of what happens in terms of the hidden job market, as we know, happens through people that you meet, not through job postings and job boards. So it is very important to get out there, to meet people, to be known, again, to talk about the company that you work for and the kinds of things you're doing for that company. And yes, many of those events do happen in the evening, and it can be challenging for people who are balancing family life and work life.
Mm. Before, Norma Jean, I want to ask you a quick question before we do that. Diana, I want to ask you, in your opinion, do you see a difference in effectiveness in how men and women network?
Oh, certainly, maybe not so much in effectiveness, but I would absolutely say in my role, in my profession, I would say that there is a huge difference between the comfort level between men and women in a networking environment, for certain. Whether we do it less effectively or more effectively, I think we do it differently, and I think where we run into challenges is if we are trying to network with men, it may appear to be less effective or it may be received less effectively because it's different and it's not the same way that they would do it. But certainly I think women are no less effective at networking.
And there's an interesting comment here. Women are more likely to be egalitarian in their networking while men are more based on power and influence. That's a statement which could influence how who men and who women network differently. I wanted to ask you, Norma Jean, your perspective on networking. What is your view on it? Do you see it as important? What do you think of this conversation so far?
I actually think women are more effective at networking. I don't think networking is the try and collect as many business cards as you can. I see it more as a relationship-based. And you were talking earlier in the show about the change in the economy, the change in the culture of business, and I think that women are better prepared for that just based on our, you could even say, our egalitarian approach, because we do go into networking to go build those relationships, and I think that's what business is based on.
Thank you, Norma Jean. So we're going to go into break now. This is your opportunity to ask our panelists for their advice. Call us now at 604-822-2487, 822-2487, or by email at info@drcareer.com. That's info@dr-career.com. You're listening to Career Fast Track on 101.9 FM or online at www.citr.ca. Following the break, learn strategies and techniques on how you can stack the odds in your favor. Stay where you are.
William Shatner. Imagine a children's hospital network that boldly goes where none have gone before, and that's Shriners Hospitals for Children. Shriners Hospitals combine state-of-the-art research and teaching programs with world-class orthopedic burn, spinal cord injury, and cleft lip and palate medical care. At Shriners, tomorrow's medical care is here today. Call 1-800-361-7256 for more information. Shriners, having fun and helping kids.
And we're back. You're listening to Career Fast Track on 101.9 FM in Vancouver. We're coming close to the end of the show. We have incredible and important information to pass on. And so this is the show about making lots of money doing work you love. I am your host, Philippe Desrochers, a.k.a. Dr. Career. Now, we have three successful women on the show today sharing their experiences. They have shared their insights on sexism, common pitfalls women make, and we are moving into critical strategies women can use to reach career heights they know they deserve, if only they had the break. So listen, a Time magazine cover story sourced a study by a workplace research group called Catalyst. And it shocked me when I read this. Of the 353 Fortune 500 companies, they found that the ones with the most women in senior management had a higher return on inequity by one-third. They made one-third more. When I read that, I said to myself, well, there's obviously value there. So what can women do to ensure that their full potential is appreciated? So, Norma Jean, now that you go into the workforce, what's your opinion on that? How do you think you can add the most value?
I think that, well, young women, for example, young women can add the most value by going in and being themselves, being confident in what they can offer to a business, focus on those results, and as we said earlier, be proud of those and assert for what you think you deserve.
Absolutely. And in terms of Denise, your experience, what would you recommend strategies for a woman out there? She's sitting there, she's maybe had two jobs where she's lost because she feels is for because she wasn't a man. And how could you empower her to feel more in control of her career?
I would recommend that that young woman trusts herself and believes that she has every right to sit at that table and that she has valuable things to contribute. She is as smart and as capable as anybody. But again, it really is about believing in yourself and having the courage to maybe go out on a limb and put yourself in a situation or ask questions if you're not comfortable doing that, but to trust yourself that you have a right to be given every opportunity that anyone else does.
So Denise, it sounds a lot like a belief system. Like you believe that you're worthy of being there, and that's pretty clear in what you're saying. One of the areas that came out of a website called Quint Careers, it talked about one of the importance that women should have is develop mentors, other women. And Norma Jean was talking about that in her conference. Diane, I'd like to hear your opinions or strategies for women on how they can build their career.
Philippe, you took it right out of my mouth. I was going to say mentoring can be very powerful for women who are struggling to find out how they can reach their full potential, how they overcome some of these barriers, how they can, you know, network maybe in a man's world if that's what their career requires. Mentoring has been proven to be very powerful. I think one of the other things that the Catalyst study has talked about was the impact that mentoring has had on women. And I think if you read the statistics, women who achieve the highest success in their career will all cite mentoring as a very important component of that. So I would advocate that quite very seriously.
Diane and Denise, I'm curious to know, who's helped you more in your career, men or women? Denise?
I think I've had an equal number of men and women help me in my career. I've been very fortunate that I've worked for and with people who have been incredibly supportive and incredibly encouraging, and I've learned different things from each of them. Mm.
Diane?
Yeah, I would say something very similar. I can think of, you know, one particular woman and one particular man who, had a significant impact in my career. So I would have to say it's pretty balanced.
One thing I appreciate about this conversation, it's not a male bashing scenario. Being a male, I was rather tentative to go into this conversation, but I'm really pleased the way it's turned out. This is a surprise question. Now that I've complimented you, I'm now going to give you a surprise question. It's called the graveyard secret. I always ask my guests the last question of the interview. It's called the graveyard secret. The reason why I call it the graveyard secret, it's because usually it's that secret to your success that you usually take to the grave because it's that valuable to you. Now, but because I'm asking you so nicely, I would ask that you please share one tip that you would typically take to the graveyard, but you're willing to share on the air to the woman who is sitting out there listening, wanting advice. Diane, do you want to start?
Maybe I would make a comment around, there is that question that looms out there all the time, can you really have it all? And I guess, maybe it's not a secret, but just a comment is, I don't think there is such a thing as it all. I think women need to define what it is they want out of their lives, and they then must clearly define the path to go and get that. And one woman's path will not look like every other woman's path, and I think we have to acknowledge that, accept it, and be true to the word believe was used just recently, and I think that's it. You have to believe in yourself and be true to what's important to you.
Norma Jean?
Mine would be, I'm a strong believer in karma, and so whether you're male or female, launching your career 20 years into it, I think it's do good things for the world, and it'll come back around to you. Whether it doesn't matter if it's part of your career path, whether it's, you know, your secret passion, do good things and work hard, and you'll be successful.
And Denise?
I guess my advice, and I don't know if this would be a secret I would take to the grave, it really is just don't wait to be given what you want, that you are in control of your own destiny, and just be very clear and straightforward and honest about what you want and ask people for help in getting it.
Well, well said. I'm sure there's a, you know, when doing this show, I think the goal was to speak to that woman who really may not feel empowered. And the goal of the show was to empower that woman out there who really felt that her odds were stacked against her. But after today's show, my hope is that there's more confidence in that area. So I would like to personally thank you, Diane, Norma Jean, and Denise, for being here. Your insights were invaluable, and thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So if you have any questions or comments on today's show, please email us at info@drcareer.com. That's info@dr-career.com. Next week, we will be offering our encore presentation of one of the most powerful shows that we've done, as I will be away on vacation in Montreal. Subject: leveraging the use of social networking sites to land your dream job. This has been a presentation of Career Fast Track on 101.9 FM or online at www.citr.ca, and we are in Vancouver, the show all about making lots of money doing work you love. I have been your host, Philippe Desrochers, also known as Dr. Career. Also, check us out every Monday morning.